Hello, listeners. This is Janine and Stephanie, and this is our first podcast for The Course of Course, a podcast dedicated to The Course in Miracles. Welcome, Steph.
Thank you.
So we're going to talk about our experiences with The Course in Miracles and really how we got here. Why are we even doing this podcast? So I'm going to just jump ahead. I started actually in the spiritual kind of consciousness world because my sister, at a very early age, showed that she was what one would call psychic, and I became very fascinated by what was going on there. I'm more analytical than she is, so I wanted to pursue a more academic kind of understanding of what a psychic really means from a scientific perspective. So I started reading an awful lot when I was in college, and at the University of Cincinnati Langsam Library, which is our big undergraduate library, I was working at the circulation department, and someone had dropped off a book. It was called There Is a River by Tom Segrew. I had nothing to do, so fortuitously, I read the book, and it was about the biography of Edgar Cayce, who was one of the first and the best documented American psychic in the United States. And from that moment, my life changed. I decided, well, this is pretty interesting. What do I do to figure out a profession in which I could academically study this? And I ended up at a place called Atlantic University in Virginia Beach, Virginia. At that point, I learned not only about the ARE, which is the Association for Research and Enlightenment, and Edgar Cayce, but I also kind of expanded my horizons and learned more about spirituality. At that point, someone had offered me the Course in Miracles book, and I thought, well, this is interesting, and I opened it up, because at that time, I think Marianne Williamson had published, I think it was called A Return to Love, and I was fascinated by it because she talked about Course. So I picked up the big blue book and I opened it and I thought, I ain't reading this thing, this is ridiculous. So I mean, the reality was I wasn't ready for it. And fast forward to now, a lot of stuff happened, but I happened to be exposed to the Course in Miracles through my sister, who happened to meet someone, oddly enough, at a stoplight, who turned out to be Gary Renard, who said to her, oh yeah, I published too, and you might want to look into it. So she told me about this guy. I ended up Google searching him and thought, oh my God, I might know this guy. And I found his book and I read it and it blew my mind. And that's pretty much how I got to where I am today in the Course in Miracles. So Steph, what is your experience?
We met at AU. We had a Search for God study group at my house. Mm-hmm.
What is a Search for God?
That was an Edgar Cayce based study group looking for God.
Mm-hmm. That was more ARE specific?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's two books written. They have prayers, they have lessons, they have chapters. Marianne Williamson was big here in LA in the 80s. I lived here, I was promoting rock and roll. All of a sudden, I'm seeing a purple glow all around you.
Wow, that's pretty weird. I got a purple glow, listeners. There you go. You can't see it. Visualize.
I devoured Marianne's tapes. They were cassette tapes.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
But we're still young, people. We're still very young.
She used to speak at a church up in Hollywood.
So you went?
It was like the AIDS was pretty hot right then.
Okay. So when was this? Like late 80s?
Late
80s.
Kind of like 87, 88, 89.
Okay.
And I bought a lot of her tapes and I would see her as much as I could.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I went to AU, I tried to read the course, and I did buy the course from the Bodhi Tree, but it didn't make sense to me.
So the Bodhi Tree bookstore is a bookstore in Los Angeles, or was, it's no longer there.
Yeah, famous bookstore, spiritual studies.
Shirley MacLaine actually talked about it in Out on a Limb.
This is true. Of course, we all read her in like junior high or whatever.
She was like one of the, I don't know, pioneers in this kind of consciousness study. And I think she took a lot of courage to go out there and say, this is who I am. And so
I am God.
Yeah, exactly.
People freaked out.
A lot of people made fun of her, right? But she still did it. I'm so impressed with her.
Thank God for Shirley. She definitely paved the way. Yeah, so then after ARE, I was living in an intentional community, communing with nature.
What does that mean, an intentional community?
It's people who choose to live in our occurrence, it was environmentally conscious. It was consensus. It was conflict resolution. There was a conference center. We taught gardening classes, composting classes, how to live in community. And there was a few people there, all spiritual paths lead to God. There was no person in control or no religion at the community.
How did that work out? Because we're watching on Fox, right, the Fox Network, this show called Utopia.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like a modern version of
which
that.
Which got canceled, by the way.
It got canceled already?
Yes,
interesting.
It did.
Okay. So back to the intentional community.
Yeah.
So you all kind of worked together. There wasn't a leader.
Mm-mm.
You grew food.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was like the main motivation.
That was my motivation because I was there for research on my thesis project about attunement with nature. Since I couldn't get to Finhorn, I went to the Sirius community because people from Finhorn started it and I could still get what I needed.
And where is Finhorn located?
In Scotland.
Okay, so is that the big like mecca of this kind of intentional gardening community?
Yeah.
Okay.
They did a lot of science measuring the nutrition of the vegetables and found that they had far more than if you didn't put any intention at all. Some of the people there were into the Course in Miracles. I went to a few meetings. Again, I pulled out my book from the 80s. I still couldn't understand it. It still seemed backwards.
Right.
So I set it aside. And then fast forward to your sister meeting Gary at the stoplight, getting his book, and that blew
all
my mind.
All roads lead to Gary Renard, apparently. Okay.
And then you knew how that was. We blew through 3 books.
Right. So we actually started reading the book around the same time, essentially.
Yeah, it was a year ago.
We both were having the perceptions that you had carried for quite some time in like the New Age community kind of blown away. I think everything I read in the first, it was Disappearance of the Universe, or Disappearing Universe, I'm not sure what the title is anymore, because it's disappeared.
It's just DU.
Yeah, we just call it DU, but it was the first time in a very long time that I thought, holy hell, this is amazing. And I got it. It was difficult intellectually, but man, I felt like it was true immediately. It didn't make it easier to comprehend, that's for sure. Because after I read it, I went, woo, and I probably read it 20 times now. And we both listened to it in audio. So it's not just reading the book, it's listening to the audio part of it. Really helpful when you're driving to work or you're taking a long drive to be able to hear it again.
Agreed.
Yeah. I think after DU, there were a couple other books. I can't remember the second one, but I love the second one. And the third one was called A Return to Love.
Yes. The second one was about the birth and death life cycles.
Yes. It's a nice trilogy, actually. And one of the reasons why I love these books so much is they took The Course in Miracles and made it so immediately understandable.
Thank God.
Yeah.
As Jesus said in the books, it was to course correct us.
Because we had tried to read the course and it wasn't working for us. So we needed that medium. We needed something to allow us to go, oh, okay, now I get it.
It's like the dictionary or the thesaurus that helps unlock the course for
exactly.
Me.
There's an author who we both love, actually, Alexander Marchand, and I'm reading his third, we call it the comic book, lovingly. These are graphic novels. They are amazing. I think they are absolute genius. But he talks about how things are modeled, and I just think that Gary did a fantastic job at least allowing us to model what was going on with The Course in Miracles so we didn't have to read the actual book. Not that we haven't read it. But it was our opportunity to go, oh, okay, now I think I can pick that blue book up and get it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that people who are listening to this know this by now, but it is purportedly channeled from Jesus through Helen Shipman,
mm-hmm.
who I believe passed away in the late 80s. I'll have to double check that in Wikipedia. But I think she's been around, but she's passed. She was a contemporary for us, at least.
Mm-hmm.
We're still young, everyone. But she definitely lives in our lifetime. I sort of wish that I was a little more, I don't know, progressed or advanced, that I was more conscious when she was alive, because I think it would have been amazing to kind of met with her or at least listen to her lectures.
Mm-hmm. Did she lecture?
I believe she, I don't know. That's a good question. We should probably find out about that. But proteges?
Wapnick?
Certainly Kenneth Wapnick, who recently passed away, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He certainly kept that going.
Mm-hmm.
Down in Temecula, California. And there's some other ones that are on the East Coast. We're in Los Angeles, California, listeners, but I know that John Mundy and a bunch of other people on the East Coast. We also found it fascinating because we went to our first Course in Miracles conference in Irvine, California in August. So that was our first.
It was an international conference.
International
which
conference.
Which got me excited. Woo, woo.
Yes.
Bring on the
very
beer.
Excited. We thought, oh my gosh, it's going to be some really amazing people there. But that was our first opportunity to kind of dip our toe into the pool of Course in Miracles. So there is another conference coming up. As we're recording, this is October of 2014, in April of 2015, I believe, is another conference kind of like on the East Coast. So we're interested in seeing the different flavors that A Course in Miracles really has as we move forward in our understanding.
It's just like in rock and roll, there's different concert promoters. Same thing with this.
Exactly. And because we're still, I think we can still call ourselves novices, I suppose, in the course community. We keep hearing people who've done the course for 30, 40 years. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that you need to put in that kind of time. I think you can still be ascended, so to speak, with less time. But I do give deference to those who have worked that long and that consistently with the course.
Mm-hmm.
To have to do all of those lessons for the year. I mean, the reality is we don't just do one lesson. I'm not going to speak for you, Steph, but I don't do one lesson a day. Sometimes I'll do one lesson, and 3 days later, I'll do the second one. I mean, I'm not completely disciplined with it,
mm-hmm.
but I am moving forward with it. And one of the things, and I think it was in Gary Renard's book, he had said, you don't have to do it exactly every day, just as long as you do it. And just as long as you only do one lesson a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the important thing. It's a lot to take in, and a lot of it is kind of mind training and behavior training.
It's a whole new thought system.
So what have been your struggles, if there have been? I'm not going to throw anything on you, but maybe things have been easy for you in doing the lessons every day.
Not at all. I mean, one of the reasons I turned to the course was I was turning 50.
Okay.
And I wanted it to be different because I just knew there had to be a better way. And when Gary's book, when I read that, it just opened up everything for me so that I could then pick up the course. So then I just started reading the text and doing the lessons, so it's been about a year now. I'm maybe half, I think I'm on like lesson 130 or something. So for me, it's very organic. Sometimes I get really busy with work. I always try and read the lesson though every day in the morning hours and then again in the evening hours. And I try and meditate at least once a day, if not twice a day. Sometimes I do those little reminders on my iPhone where I can set it to go off every hour. For every half hour, I'm in the middle of work.
So when you say reminders on your iPhone, what do you mean by that?
For the lesson for the day.
Okay.
To read the little lesson.
Did you download an application?
Yeah, the ICM.
ACIM. Okay.
Uh-huh. What's it called? You know better than me because you turned me onto it.
Right. So you can download that, listeners. You can go to the iTunes store and type in ACIM, but you can also go to the website. I believe we're looking at it right now, so we'll find out for you. It's an application that allows you to set an alarm that will ping you. Does it say where it's from? Yeah, it's from the Foundation for Inner Peace.
With CDE Solutions, ACIM Workbook with Reminders.
So if you can type that into Google, you will find it. The nice thing about that is it allows you to set whatever alarm you want during the day. If it works for 8 a.m., set it for 8 a.m. It's nice because it will constantly ping you, which I appreciate. It's very easy when you're at work to get distracted. And this allows you to go, okay, I'm done. It's time for the course now.
When I read the lesson for the day, I usually write out the prayers and the lesson. And I put them on a little post-it, so they're in front of me all day long.
Yeah, I think you're better than I am with this.
I'm like crazy for signs.
Yeah.
Signs are all around my house.
That is true. I mean, you can go into your car and there's sticky notes in your car.
I love sticky notes.
There's nothing wrong with them. Big fan.
Different colors.
But I can say that I'm impressed with you really are doing what you can to apply what you're learning to your daily life. And that's the key, I think, and it's a behavior pattern. And it has to be reiterated over and over again. It's very easy to not do it. I know that for a fact.
Well, I think just because of our training over our whole lifetime of self-reflection,
right.
It's easy to always, for me, at this point, I've turned, I feel like. I'm always trying to come from the point of view of the course. I mean, maybe not always, because I'm not always conscious, because I forget, I remember, I forget, I remember, I forget, I remember. Having the post-its helps me remember. Having it on in my car every time I walk into the car and drive around the town helps.
Whatever it takes to bring you back to that. Yeah, exactly.
Because it's all about choosing spirit instead of the physical ego manifestation.
We were having a conversation before we started recording. We were talking about traffic and how challenging it can be, even for course students, when you're behind somebody who's doing some crazy stuff in traffic, behavior pattern dictates, and all of a sudden you're yelling obscenities to someone who you've never met,
right.
Who we both know.
He's a jackass.
Right, who we both know is a child of God. But we, because they're in traffic, all bets are off, right?
Driver.
So it's kind of like, how do we remember when our behavior patterns take over?
Usually after the words come out of my mouth.
okay. I have this thing where I always say, oh, great, you're really going to ascend now. Like, that's my big thing. Like, come on, Janine. Really? You're not going anywhere. I have to berate myself to go, okay, hold on. Let me get back to that space. It happens a lot. We were also talking earlier about how sometimes acknowledging when the ego crops up does help. It's not forgiveness, but it's like the first step. It's like, hold on, that's my ego. I will be driving to work, having an argument in my head about somebody at work, and I'll have to stop myself and come and basically say, come on, ego, stop it.
And ask for Holy Spirit.
And ask for
HSJ.
Pop that's the in. Thing, Steph. You're really good at HSJ. I never thought about it. It's Holy Spirit, Jesus. You're like covering all bases.
That's right.
HSJ, come help me now. But it's really good, I think, to keep asking, because everything we read about the Course always says that Jesus is there. All you have to do is ask.
We have to will it. We have to want it.
Right.
We have to do our homework.
And the other thing, because I grew up in a very religious kind of background, and I think you have a slight aversion to this whole religious stuff too. When I was growing up, the concept of Jesus was so attached to the concept of religion that I really didn't like it. I was like, oh, Jesus, whatever. It's only been through the Course that it's like, oh, wait a minute. I can separate the Jesus from the Course from the Jesus I thought about when I was, you know, a little schoolgirl in Catholic Church.
Yeah, I used to call the kids Jesus freaks back then.
Exactly. I think a lot of people did too, because the connotation was so strong. But now that I can look at it and go, okay, Jesus was a totally different person. He was just kind of, I don't know, taken over by religion, but he wasn't really part of that anyway. I feel much better about it. When people had said, oh, Jesus is my savior, I'm kind of like, yeah, whatever. I don't see Jesus as my savior necessarily, but I see him as a friend. I see him as a mentor. This concept of somebody who walked the talk, because it's rare in our third dimension existence where we see people truly walking the talk. So if we can look at Jesus and say, all right, that's how I want to emulate, then I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. I that's one of the things that really changed for me in reading the Course. It's bringing Jesus into my life, because I was thought, oh, that's just messed up. And I watched, you know, TV evangelists and go, oh, no, I'm not going there. I'm not a huge fan of the Bible. I'll admit that. I knew at an early age something was wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
This can't be. I'm around people who are very religious, who say things about, you know, the Bible, and I read the Bible all the time. I could never...
It's just a lie.
It never rang true to me. But the Course rings true to me.
Do you remember that lady from the ARE? She was a painter.
Yes.
Jesus posed for her, and that was the painting.
That's amazing.
So I went and pulled it out of my collection, because I guess maybe I knew someday I'd want it. But it's taken, 20 years since being in Virginia Beach?
That's interesting. You know what, listeners, I will put this image on the blog,
okay,
so you can see what we're talking about.
And we'll give her credit.
Right, we'll absolutely give her credit. I think spiritual art like that is amazing as well. And that is phenomenal, this picture that we're talking about. Hopefully if you go to the Course of Course blog site, you can see it. It is the Course of Course at blogspot.com. We'll also post other things. This is hopefully where you got the podcast, but we're also on iTunes, hopefully, by the time you hear this. So is there anything else you want to talk about in how you got here?
I don't know. I feel like my life has been hard in a way. I feel like I've worked really hard at trying to get where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's been years of Landmark and Est and, like I said, Edgar Cayce and Transcendental Meditation and massage programs and Reiki Master and
results
system.
When you say you
worked
really hard, was it you worked really hard to get to the spiritual awareness that you are at today?
Yeah, like this lifetime has been about spiritual awareness. It's been about experiencing life and self-reflecting to know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
A la not married, no kids.
Right, so you, for whatever reason, had basically planned on, this is my time, this is the Stephanie lifetime where I'm going to find out more about myself and who I am in relation to God. And
I feel like it was all in preparation to getting to Gary's books and the Course.
Yeah, I agree too. I mean, we put in a lot of time, I think, just trying to learn more things. It was a bit of a smorgasbord life,
mm-hmm,
taking in as much as we could and learning. And every time we learned something, we changed. We talked earlier about a book that we both read, I believe, in graduate school. It's called Cracking the Cosmic Egg by Joseph Chilton Pierce. And in that book, he talked about how our belief system is like an egg, and every time we come up with a new thought process, there's a crack in that, and we have to reform. And
that's,
I think,
how it
for,
was with Gary's books.
Yeah, for both,
yeah,
of us, I think Gary's books completely shattered our egg.
Mm-hmm.
And
we had to realign.
We had to realign and reform.
A little time. too, to process it.
I know. I think it probably took a number. I don't know. I can't speak for you, but it probably took me a couple months to really, like, sit with it and go, oh, now I get it. Because there were times when I read that book, and I had said this to you, my brain hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It was so mind-blowing.
You have to want it.
You have to want it. And we weren't ready. Again, I'm not speaking for you. I wasn't ready 20 years ago when I was in Virginia. It just took something. It took an event. That trigger event happened to be my sister meeting up with Gary. But to be honest with you, I did not seek out his book at that moment.
Well, we've never even heard of it.
Right.
Like, I don't know how we would have heard of it.
I wonder if our ego was so strong. Like, oh yeah, we've read all those spiritual books. We've been in the spiritual community for a long time. We never really thought about it. And one day, and I don't know how this happened. It was probably a year after my sister had said I met this guy, a red light, that I thought, well, let me just figure out who this person is. And when I found out and I downloaded it, it was at least a year later, it changed everything. I think it changed everything for me. It may have changed everything for you.
Completely.
It's one of the reasons why we're having this podcast today.
It was the right time. Like, that's the time we were supposed to read it.
Right. And I think one of the reasons we decided to do this podcast, there are many podcasts out there right now talking about Course in Miracles. And I love all of them, and I think it's fantastic, everyone who's putting that effort in. I think from our perspective, it's more like we're novices,
mm-hmm.
so to speak, at least for now.
It's only been a year.
Right.
Maybe. It's like we're newbies.
And everything is fresh eyes for us. So we go to our very first Course in Miracles conference in August in Irvine. And we're thirsty, and we love this stuff. You know,
the
light has come, exactly. Thank you, Beverly. And we're reading the Alexander Marchand books, which are amazing. His third book just came out, I think, September 30th. We just downloaded it, and we're voraciously reading it. Anything that we can get our hands on that makes sense. There's a lot of books out there that talk about the Course in Miracles, and obviously some are going to affect us in different ways than others. So we just have to find the ones that are kind of entrained to us at this moment in time.
I feel like I'm a purist right now, that I'm only going to read the Course and I'm only going to review Gary's books, and now I'm letting in
right.
the comic books.
Right.
People have handed me other books about the Course and whatnot, and I just kind of don't care.
No, it's interesting. I agree.
I feel like theirs are the... I want to go to the source. I don't want to bullshit around anymore.
Right. So, as with anything in the spiritual community, there's going to be a plethora of information, and there is. And I want to give credit to those. It's a tremendous...
paving the way.
...accomplishment to write a book and get it published and all that kind of stuff. But it really depends on what makes sense for us. You've probably had an experience where someone had given you a book and said, this is the best book ever, you got to read it, and you start reading it, and go, yeah, this doesn't work. Nothing against the author, it's just not the right thing for you.
Like Gary's book.
Right. I mean, well, we should talk about that. I mean, you have been probably the biggest distributor of Gary Woodward's books. I don't think he realizes that. But you have bought so many books and sent it out to so many people, and we are fascinated when we hear back that people are like, ah, yeah, I didn't get into it. It wasn't my thing.
I think two people have read it out of maybe 37 copies
right.
I've sent out.
Right. But thank goodness for those two people that,
yeah.
you know, they were able to go, oh, wow, and you were the conduit in which Gary's book came to them. Like, Lynn was our conduit, my sister,
mm-hmm.
in bringing the Gary book to us. But, you know, it speaks to the fact that somebody gave me A Course in Miracles book 20 years ago, and I wasn't
mm-hmm.
ready to read it,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends on the timing as well. I just think that this happens to be our time.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
And hopefully with the bookshelf on the book on the shelf, that they will someday pick it up.
Right.
I mean, they're all people that I think have a spiritual interest, or we've talked about how their life is working or not working or whatnot. Somehow it was an invitation, I feel like, for me to give them Gary's book.
Right.
But
we all have these different, I don't know, I don't want to say perceptions, but we like certain things. You know, our preferences are very well formed at this point. So some things get in and some things don't, and that's perfectly fine. It's just a matter of figuring out what makes sense for us.
Yeah, I'm kind of suspending it. It's nice to have Gary's personal experiences and his own self-reflection. It's like, just move past
it. I think
it.
One of the things that we were both blown away by when we were at the Irvine conference was how many people had never read Gary's books.
Yeah.
Because they were so influential for us, we just assumed
yeah.
that others at this conference would have read them. So that was kind of mind-blowing as well. I mean, maybe they have their own things, their own books that blew them away. Just Gary's happened to be ours.
Yeah. Like yeah. theirs was Jerry Jampolsky.
Jampolsky, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, other authors. I'm sure that they are very much aligned with Mary Williamson, which we adore too.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. But it's really the Gary books that kind of pushed us, I think. They're the impetus.
Definitely.
But one of the things we're going to talk about in subsequent podcasts are other books, not just Gary's, but certainly Alexander Marchand's and anyone else that have really made a difference. Marianne Williamson was huge for us as well,
mm-hmm.
early days.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about kind of what's going on in our lives and how we have been able or not been so successful in applying the Course in Miracles at work or at home and personal relationships. That's really the meat of this podcast, trying to figure out how to make sense of this in the third dimension world that we find ourselves in.
Yes, how to apply it and how to get through every day.
Yeah.
From a course point of view versus
okay.
an ego point of view.
So I just want to say thank you very much, listeners, for hanging in there with us. We look forward to this journey with you.
Let's just say one thing that
yes.
we met, what, in the late...
We met in 1990.
At AU, Atlantic University.
Yeah, in Virginia Beach.
So it's been a long time.
It feels like a long time, doesn't it? But we're still young people.
Yes.
How many times can I say that?
We were the youngest students in the program at that
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely, and we're still young. Again, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. We will be back next week with The Course of Course. Thank you, listeners. Have a great day.